Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So quiet in here. I can't hardly stand it. It's so quiet in here. Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or beside you or behind you, introduce yourselves. Hold on, I gotta introduce the congregation. Say hi to Jim Lang. Jim's got the greatest grandkids in the world. Did you know that? This is my buddy Bodie. So Bodie wants to say hi to the congregation, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, yeah. What do you think, man? I think he's going to be a preacher. Yeah, good.
I think he's going to be a guitar player.
Today in our lessons, we've got two of my favorite lessons. You've got the story of Saul of Tarsus, how he gets knocked off his horse and blinded and becomes a new person. And changes his name to Paul. And then we have Jesus meeting the disciples in the Sea of Galilee. They go out fishing just like you and I do, and we don't know what else to do. And they don't catch anything until Jesus says, throw your nets on the other side. Notice, this is for your Jeopardy question. They catch 153 fish. In the Sea of Galilee, which I had a chance to go out on a boat and have a meal there, the fish that you catch in the Sea of Galilee are like big crappies. They're about that big. And they just gut them and then deep fry them, the whole head all the way down, and you pick the meat off, and it's really, really tasty. They call them St. Peter's fish. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that little tidbit out for you. Yeah. If you ever get there, try it, okay? Yeah. And I think the point of these lessons is that with Jesus, our hearts and lives can change. And so that's kind of the theme in our lessons today, and in the meditation and in our music and in our prayers. A couple of announcements. Next Sunday, we're receiving new members. We got five or six new families that will be joining us. Wonderful bunch of people. Very wide and varied interests and travels and experiences. Just like I look out here today, you know, all of you are different. And this is a special congregation. I hope you know how special this is. And these folks will fit right in, so I hope you welcome them. That's next Sunday. Following Sunday, we've got the Adult and Teen Challenge group coming down, 15 people. These are people who have gone through drug addiction and through Jesus' help them win the battle. You're going to hear stories of change just like you'll hear stories of change today. So there's only going to be one service. That's two Sundays from now at 9 o'clock. And then there's a brunch that follows. And there's a sign-up sheet for if you'd like to bring something for brunch. I just remembered the desserts. But there's two other things out there. So take a look at that. And if you'd like to help out with that, please sign up. And then we've got, let's see, that's the 28th. Following week, 2 weeks from that time is the opening of fishing, Mother's Day. And John Koziel said if he can play, then he guides out here, the fishing musician. Anyone ever fished with him? Nobody. Yeah. I'm wondering if he's any good or if that's... I'm going to have to go out and see if he's any good. I'll report back later in the summer, okay? But he'll be here with a friend of his leading the music on the opening of Fishing Mother's Weekend. So that's what's coming up. It's nice to have you here. Some of you have had some difficulties this week. And some of you have had some wonderful joys, and maybe that's the nature of life. Huh? But it's important that we take some time out to thank our Creator, Lord, for His life, love and presence in our life. Let's open with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, You send Your love, and we reject it. You tell us things will be okay, and we doubt it. You remind us of the importance of family and friends. And sometimes we go our own way and remain loners. But today we pray that You might bring us all together to celebrate life, to support and care and love one another, and to remind ourselves of Your Spirit that lives with us. So send Your Spirit now, for we pray it in Jesus' name.
As a praise team, we are now very happy that Lent is over and we can sing some upbeat songs, and we can sing some songs that really reflect and celebrate the message of Easter. So our first, the opening song is I Am the Resurrection. And the message that we get from this is that Christ came to bring us life, and that the only thing that we need to do to receive it is to believe. So very simple message. If we believe, then we will live.
Turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Let's join together in the prayer of confession. God, give us your wisdom so we might choose what serves your purpose for your world. Give us direction as we walk the uncertain journey of faith in your name. Forgive our sinful condition, which pulls us away from you and the life you give. Forgive us for poor choices. Forgive our short-sightedness. Forgive our unwillingness to follow. Forgive our attitudes of self-sufficiency. Forgive our lack of love to our brothers and sisters. God, give us wisdom and direction as we walk this adventure called faith. Our God is a great God and knows our every need. God knows the wilderness we wander through. God forgives our choices, our short-sightedness, our unwillingness, our self-sufficiency, and our lack of love. God in Christ Jesus forgives our sinful condition and promises us love will replace hate and joy will replace despair. God gives us all we need for this journey, and today we celebrate with joyful expectation.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our anthem today is called Messiah, and it reminds me, all of us, that every day we have challenges in our lives and that there's people all over who are really hurting. So where do we turn for our help? And the answer is Messiah.
Thank you. The first lesson is from Acts 9. Each of us has a story of meeting God's grace. Saul, later called Paul, was an ardent persecutor of all who followed the way of Christ. This reading recounts the story of his transformation, beginning with an encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now he was going along and approaching Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will hold what you are to do, be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "And Ananias?" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so they might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The psalm is from Psalm 30. You will respond in the bold print, and when you see the bold R, read the refrain, "You have turned my wailing into dancing." "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance. You have turned my wailing into dancing.
God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning.
While I felt secure, I said, "I shall never be disturbed."
You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord, but I pleaded with my Lord, saying,
What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my wailing into dancing.
You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. You have turned my wailing into dancing.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday of Easter is found in the 21st chapter of St. John, beginning with the first verse. The risen Christ appears again to his disciples by the sea where they first were called. After echoes of the fishing and feeding miracles, he gives a final reminder of the cost of a disciple's love and obedience. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathering there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So former President George H.W. Bush, the elder Bush, was speaking to an appreciative audience some years back, immediately after he had left office, and explained what it was like to go from being a vice president for 8 years to president for 4 years, and then to be a private citizen. This is what he said. He says, the first day I woke up, and he reached out to push the button to get someone to make him his morning coffee, but there was no button, and there was nobody to bring my coffee. And then he added, Barbara said, get out of the bed yourself, you lazy dog, and make yourself some coffee. And I thought, you know what? That'd be quite a shock. One moment you are the leader of the most powerful nation in the world, and the next thing you know, you're an average, everyday American. That's the beauty of living in a a society like ours, a democracy, we spread the privilege of serving around. And that's the theme of our sermon this morning is leadership. It's authority. Where do we get our leadership? Where do we get our authority from? We have the story in our first lesson of the Apostle Paul. He had a certain amount of authority. He has become probably the greatest evangelist in the history of Christianity. We're studying one of his books in one of our Bible studies. There was a time, however, when he had a different kind of authority. He had the authority that sent chills down the spine of Christian followers. Just like we read in our lesson today, before his conversion, Paul had a different name. It was Saul. And he was a man to be feared, especially if you were a Christian believer. And this Saul seemed to delight in persecuting the followers of Jesus. That was because of his fierce devotion to his faith system, to his belief system in which he was nurtured. Saul was Jewish. He called himself a Hebrew among Hebrews. And he was so fervent in his faith, so fervent in his traditions, that the stories told how he was present at the death of the first Christian martyr, St. Stephen, when he was a young boy. He was present with those others when they stoned Stephen, and Stephen looked up to heaven and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He held the cloaks of those who did the stoning. And that was his lifestyle. That was his life for many, many years. Later on, Saul had risen to such prominence and respect with his own people that he could go and see the high priests. He could see the Sanhedrin, the judges in all of Israel, and receive from them letters so that he could go across the whole country and arrest whoever was following Jesus. And that's what he did. Not only arrest him, but participating in stonings and putting him in jail. He could persecute and arrest any Christian he came across. He was this big, self-righteous man with big, self-righteous plans, ambitious plans. He was probably, he probably felt very special in this posting. Very important as he rode along, high in the saddle, on his way to Damascus. Now Luke, who writes the book of Acts, says the situation's like this. He says, as Saul neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven surrounds him, and he falls off his horse, falls to the ground, and a voice says to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He says, "Lord, who are you?" And the voice says, "I am Jesus, who you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." And the men traveling with him don't see anything, but they hear the voice, according to this scripture lesson. Saul gets up from the ground. He opens his eyes, but he can't see anything. And so they lead him by hand to Damascus. And suddenly Saul didn't seem to be all that big and fearsome because he's blind and he needs help. That can happen to anybody in life. We fall off our high horse and we need some help. I read a story recently about a man who was a very proud man, had a wonderful family, great job, high income, wonderful house. He attended church periodically and was always friendly and supportive to the church. But one day he read in the newspaper that his son had been arrested for murder across the country. And so this man went across the country. After 2 years in trial and whatnot for murder, he was put in jail for life. So this guy would go and visit his son as often as he could. He got an apartment and he started going to a church that was near the prison. And he said when he developed a relationship with his church, the church members started ministering to his son in prison. When this father visited the son, he would go to the church and he said to the pastor that nothing had ever humbled him more than the shame of having a son in prison, and at the same time finding more love from God than he'd ever known before. Just because, you know, we visited people in prison, this church did. And Saul could have related to this father, I think. He'd been riding high, now he's brought low. Luke tells us that 3 days, for 3 days Saul is blind. He didn't drink anything, he didn't eat anything, but then Saul experiences the love of God. The love that came through an ordinary Christian disciple by a guy named Ananias. And this is the only time this particular Ananias is mentioned, except that Paul later on would describe Ananias as a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living in Damascus. Other than that, he's just an ordinary person like you and me. But God calls Ananias and says, Ananias, he says, yes, Lord. That's always the response of faith, by the way. God calls, we say, yes, Lord. The Lord says to Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. Evidently, being stricken as he was had humbled Saul to the point that he starts praying. You know how when things get tough, you start praying? That's what's happening to Saul. He starts praying. And the Lord continues with his instructions. In a vision, Saul has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restores his sight. And that's in fact what happens. Ananias says, Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and how he's all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all of those who are following you, all of those who are calling on your name. The Lord says to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument. He's going to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to all the people of Israel. So Ananias, probably quite reluctantly, goes to this street named Straight, goes to the house where Paul's staying, and he places his hands on Paul's head. And Saul is healed. He gets up, and these flakes fall off from his eyes. When this prayer is said, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately something, you know, happens in Paul's lives. He spends a few days with the disciples, and then he goes out and starts preaching in the synagogues, just as Jesus did. And this is quite a transformation. On the one day, here he is persecuting them. All of a sudden, this event happens, and now he's proclaiming a different message. A humble man, Jesus is Lord. I mean, Saul, the ambitious man who has big plans, has an experience that brings him to his knees, and he realizes that his whole life has been one big mistake. Has that ever happened to you guys? Your whole life has been one big mistake. And through the touch of an ordinary man named Ananias, Saul's life is radically changed and becomes an apostle of Jesus. Do those kind of things happen in our world today? That kind of a radical change, radical life change happen? Come 2 weeks from now, hear the stories of Adult and Teen Challenge. You'll find out people who are hooked on drugs are changed overnight. I think you'll hear stories like that. Some of you might remember a guy named Eldridge Cleaver. Cleaver, back in the 60s, was the leader of the Black Panthers, which is a radical, violent group, militants. Something happened significantly in Eldridge Cleaver's life. He tells the story of being in Paris, overlooking, or on the Mediterranean Sea, overlooking the Mediterranean. He says in his book that anytime he came near a law officer or a courts, he just was filled with hate and anger and wanted to just mash them all. He says as he was looking out on the Mediterranean Sea, all of a sudden he had a picture of Jesus come from his youth, and it filled his mind, and he had to read the scriptures, and he started reading the 23rd Psalm over and over and over and over and over again, until all of a sudden he says he changed. Something happened to him, and that hatred left him. He'd looked for police officers and soldiers. He'd expected to be angry, but instead all he felt was a sense of peace. He changed overnight, and he couldn't understand it. All those feelings of hatred had become feelings of love and acceptance. We hear stories of like that periodically. Here's what I find fascinating. Sometime after Paul's experience in Damascus, he changes his name from Saul to Paul. Do you know what Saul's name means? In Hebrew, it means asked for or prayed for. And so this was a very special name, Saul, because it means that you ask for God's blessings, you pray for God's protection and power to be with him. And so I'm sure he was pretty filled with himself with a name like Saul. Jim, you're kind of proud of your name, Jim, right? Me too. Anyway, he changes his name from prayed for or asked for to Paul, which in Greek means little. Means little. I mean, that's a sign of humility that he's nothing anymore. He will talk later on about the lesser of the apostles. All of a sudden, this proud man becomes humble after his conversion. It happens in sports. When I played for the Eskimos in 1966 and 67, we had a lineman who was 300 pounds, which was big for the time, but his nickname was Tiny. And right next to him, who blocked for me, was Pork Chops, and he was bigger than Tiny. So they could block. There's no question about that. And that's what happens to Paul. Saul becomes Paul from asked for, prayed for, to little guy, to Tiny. Sometimes as adults, even Christian adults, we who are parents or bosses or pastors or leaders in communities, we can get a little bit full of ourselves with our authority or with power or with success. And we may think, because we're used to making decisions, that we're somehow in charge of our lives. We're in charge of running things. We know better than anybody else what should be done. And we may forget that every job we do, every dollar we earn, every step we take, every breath we draw is all by the grace of God. The only reason we are who we are and we have what we have is by the grace of God. A person may be anointed and commissioned to a task for God, but if he or she ever forgets that it's God who empowers us and God to whom we should look for to direct our steps, well, we run the risk of getting far off the track. Saul thought he knew what he was doing when he was persecuting Christians. He believed he was serving the God of Israel by carrying out his own hate-filled agenda. It was by God that he was doing that. Saul thought he knew everything he needed to know about God. He had no idea that God had revealed so much more through Jesus of Nazareth. Saul thought he had power and authority, but God took all that away. God literally knocked him off his horse, blinded him in order that he could see a better life, a better way of doing things, the truth about his actions. Instead of serving God, he was persecuting God's only son. And now, realizing that Jesus was the Lord, the one with the true power and true authority in everything, Saul was humbled to the point that he could become a magnificent ambassador for Christ. Saul had a reputation, but then he had a revelation. He changed. A revelation about himself and a revelation about God, that there is a God who is in authority, who is in control. And from that day forward, he would subject his reputation and authority to the will and glory of Jesus Christ. The converted Saul, who once thought he had it all figured out, sees himself as an unimportant and weak vessel, a mere slave to an all-important and all-powerful God. He makes this big, big change. And if that can be true for Paul, that can be true for us. Until we submit our lives to God's authority, to the lordship of Jesus Christ, each of us finds ourselves traveling a dangerous, difficult, hard road. Up until we yield ourselves to God's leadership, we live a life that's puffed up and inflated with a sense of our own authority, our own power, our own warped idea of leadership, which ends up being selfish and self-important. Even though we may believe We mean well or see ourselves as good people until we enter into a living relationship with our Creator. We may be heading on the wrong road. We may think we're doing well, but after good, hard reflection, that may reveal that our lives are pretty empty. And so, we have this story of Saul. Saul was a big man. Saul had big plans. But he was an angry man who took out his anger on others. Christ humbled Saul and gave him a new name, Paul, which literally means small. And he became the least of the apostles. Paul became the second most influential person in Christianity after Jesus Christ himself. Even more importantly, he became God's instrument when he humbled himself. I was visiting with someone recently, and they were talking about success and stuff, and I made the comment, well, I have a lot to be humbled about, because nobody's got anything going. And maybe that's a good attitude for all of us, that we'll care for one another, help each other down the road, serve, share God's love, and we'll become more like Jesus, more like Paul. God can use us too if we humble ourselves and believe in the gospel. Something for us to ponder on our journeys. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the praise team back and invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Please join us for dance with me. As our psalm said, you have turned my wailing into dancing.
Today, huh? Thank you. Thank you. Please rise. Let's join in the offertory prayer. Let us pray together. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we bring before you these offerings of our treasure. Bless these gifts and use them in the work of your realm on earth. Give strength to the hands that labor, vision to minds that create, and hope to lives who serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Rejoicing with all the witnesses of the resurrection, Let us pray in confidence for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Open our eyes to see the presence of Christ in our midst. Open our hearts to receive forgiveness, grace, and hope. Open our mouths to proclaim it is the Lord. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protect the oceans, lakes, and waterways of your creation. Help us to maintain the beaches and coastlands for the joy of all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Break the bonds of oppression, the cycles of violence. Grant wisdom and humility to all in possessions of authority, making them advocates for all who have no voice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bless all who cry to you. Shelter those who live in danger. Comfort the lonely. Heal the sick. Especially remember in our prayers today Joanne Groh, Doug Trandall, Dean Newman, Lynn Hansen. Be with the Dooleys as they do their duty this week, bearing their son and daughter-in-law. Comfort all who we name in our hearts before you who need your healing hand. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By your presence, strengthen this congregation to follow you. Help us to tend to those who are hungry and in need throughout our community and the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We ask your blessing to be with those who travel this week. Thank you for bringing more snowbirds back. Be with those who will be coming again. We ask your blessing upon the new members who will join us, our fellowship. Give us a common vision to keep our eyes on you, Heavenly Father. And we ask your blessing to be with those we love, family and friends. Keep them safe and in your loving care. Clothe us with joy so that our mourning turns into dancing and our sorrow turns into rejoicing. Bless all who mourn and grant us courage and faith to see life even in the midst of death. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In resurrection hope, we commend to you all for whom we pray, trusting in the promise of new life, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Amen.
Please join us for the Lord's Prayer.
In the benediction, please.
Thank you.
forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Let's join in singing our closing hymn.
Everybody sing, Alleluia, for the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.